Do you want to wow
party
guests with your expansive knowledge of folklore and weird historical tales? Or maybe scare your friends with some good old-fashioned ghost stories? If so, you're in the right place.
Welcome, everybody, to your new favorite spooky podcast, Live, Laugh, Lore. I'm Caroline, and this is my partner in crime and all things creepy, Emily. Together, we're your guides through the world of the weird, the wacky, and the downright terrifying.
Each week, we'll take you on a wild ride through haunted houses, ancient myths, and urban legends that'll make your skin crawl.
Plus, we add our own unhinged commentary to keep you laughing through each spine-tingling tale. So, whether you're a skeptic or a believer, tune in to Live, Laugh, Lore every Thursday for a podcast that's as chilling as it is hilarious.
Because who says you can't giggle at a ghost or chuckle at a chupacabra? So go ahead and subscribe and give us a listen today wherever you get your podcasts. You won't want to miss a single episode.
Grab a drink, get cozy, and let's get spooky. Bye! Bye.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, being seasonal with the scares and the creeps and the booze.
Hold on. Which one of us is the scares? Which one of us is the creeps? And which one of us is the booze?
Ray,
obviously the creeps. We know this for a fact.
So, I want to be the booze. That sounds the most fun.
Did you say boo or did you say boo earns?
I was saying boo earns and boo ooze and give me some of that boo ooze.
I got to be the scares?
Oh, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, you're right. I'm more the scares.
Anyway, this is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
I am Robert Boo Chan.
Jesus Christ. I am Gina Creepolito.
That was pretty good.
Your scares.
That one, no, I liked mine better. Creepolito.
Creep. Yeek. All right, fine. Well, then Ray is the Raymond Scare Canis.
Raymond Scabies Stacanus.
Listen, we don't talk about what they said in high school, Gina.
Well, they keep texting us, so that's, we have to put up with it.
I mean, we all make choices. Listen, we are talking about Halloween. Look, you've had, I think, three. I think this is the last of the Halloweens because this is supposed to drop on Halloween or the day before.
Oh, no.
That sounds right.
That feels right. I mean, Chan still got to get me a file tonight, I believe, but that's neither here nor there. Don't worry about that.
We're really telling people how the sausage is made this week.
Oh, boy, are we. Anyway, we can talk about the teddy bears scare. I don't know what this is. It was not comforting, and it made me feel things.
Really? Because this felt like super generic. Like,
yes.
That was on 80s TV.
Yeah,
it was deeply generic.
It was a big fat nothing burger. I think there were like two kinds of kids shows in the 80s or kids specials in the 80s. The ones that were like deeply fucked up and weird. And if you watch them in class, one nerd had to inevitably leave. Like when I watched The Dark Crystal in second grade in class.
The second grade? Oh, okay, my God.
No, look. I tried to get my kid into Dark Crystal, and rightly he didn't, because it's pretty messed up to do it in a school classroom.
This is what I'm saying. The 80s were cool. There was only one pussy back then, and you made fun of him mercilessly when he went to stand in the hallway because he was too scared of the Skeksis. And then there were the specials that were such nothing burgers and so bland. That like they could clearly only be for the weird religious kids.
Now, first off, Gina, this is your weekly reminder that Gina's nickname in school was the bully of Booton Township. We do have to keep that in mind.
I stand by it. And it was clearly better to be in the camp of like watching weird crap, like weird adaptations of Alice in Wonderland that made you feel like you were on drugs. But these had their place too, I guess. And this definitely falls into the category.
That's the one I remember.
This definitely falls into the category of not weird, nothing burger.
Teddy Bear Scare is that. Look, I just, my first thought, I just saw the starting image, which I can't even do justice to, but it was like a teddy bear looking at some sort of scary pumpkin straw animal or something. I don't even remember now. But my first thought is just, okay, Chan, what fresh hell is this?
Honestly, I would have liked it a little bit if it was even a little bit weird.
I mean, it was pretty, you know what? This reminds me a lot of that Mr. Ed episode we watched last year with the,
you
was
shut
the
your mouth.
No, Mr. It wasn't Mr. Ed. It was Lassie with the witch who lives next door.
Oh, okay.
Remember that one, Chan?
100%. Right out the gate, like the first credit says Margot Kidder is Mrs. Jones. And I'm like, okay, this is one of those stories where there's a scary, creepy old lady that everyone thinks is a witch, and they make up stories about her, and then it turns out she's like really nice. I'm like, based on that single line of text, you know, you can pick up the entire story.
I was really hoping, like the whole premise of the thing is like, oh, these kids think that this lady is a witch, and then like Chan said, she turns out she's just a really nice old lady, and it's about like, oh, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, which was a very popular thing in the 80s in between when we were beating up nerds.
We do have to think about what that means when they needed so many specials to tell people not to judge books by their covers.
Well, right. I mean, the other specials that they had on were like, hey, don't trust strangers. They'll poison your candy and rape you. So it was like real mixed messaging. I was holding out hope until the very end because I was like, oh, man, I really wish this was one of the things where like I'm like, ugh, obviously this is like a sweet old lady. But like it turns out to be like the witch or something in the end where they go in and there really are like children's fingers bobbing up and down in that stew. But the fact that there was not a single voice of reason that like the kids and the bears were all like, she's a witch. I was like, well, she obviously can't be a witch. But I would have loved her to be a witch.
Although, like, props to them. Like, kind of early on, the girl sits down with her dad, and he tells her, like, this is real bullshit. And she's like, huh. And she kind of clocks pretty early. And I was like, oh, well, she's not saying anything because her dumb big brother. And I think we can all agree that older siblings are the drizzling shits. They're the worst and make everything worse.
Uh-huh. Because I was the oldest child in my family.
Checks out.
And you are accurate.
Gina?
Yes. Yeah, I was the youngest and I ruled.
Really? Wait a minute. I thought you were old. Why is that your interactions with your brother seem like you are the older?
Because he was a pussy and I was a bully and I bullied him.
Oh, boy. Oh boy!
Oh my goodness! This is
how things work. Bully of Booton Township to like the butcher of Booton Township. I feel like Gina's really taken this to some really dark places.
I mean, this was why like I watched things a little bit too young because he was 3 years older than me.
No, yeah.
And when we went to like amusement parks, my parents had to weigh like, oh, well, Dean is scared, but Gina really wants to go on this ride. So we would go on the ride and I would prove that he was a puss and a half.
Couldn't he have just like sat that one out
while his little sister rides a ride that he didn't know? I would have bullied him mercilessly for that.
I do not care for these sibling dynamics. I am pleased as punch that I was a single child.
Nah. Who do you text with 20 times a day to talk about what 80s movie was that we watched in 1987 had a thing?
Text me, I assume someone's dead.
That's because they don't like you. My brother and I text multiple times a day. It's a lot of bits, a lot of 80s references.
it sounds like you're bullying him into doing that.
Yeah, it seems like he's going to get a noogie or you know, a wet willy from you if he doesn't do it, or social harassment.
Well,
and then Gina quietly thinks about her life.
No, right, well, I think cool we had a real breakthrough this week, everybody. Thank you.
No, I'm cool with it. In fact, I might text him after this podcast is done just to tell him he's a pussy.
Just to wake him up and so he knows he's a pussy.
Yeah, wake up, bitch. You little bitch.
You know, I will say, I'm doing a rewatch of The Sopranos, and I giggle because at least one, maybe two occasions they've mentioned Bootin, and it's killed me every single time.
Yep. That's what it's like. Oh, that's where goodness. We live.
Ew. Now, the one thing I'll say is normally we try to do YouTube. We try to get YouTube videos to watch for this. They're easy to share. Chan, for some reason, is just all about the archive.org. And in this particular recording, only one side of the headphones actually played. So thanks, Chan.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Only the left side of my headphones was playing.
All of Gina's equipment is in mono, first off.
I mean, to be fair, when you're watching things at 1.75 speed, it all sounds the same.
Oh, it doesn't matter. The other thing is, you can go watch the YouTube version that is sped up just a little bit to avoid copyright infringement, and no. It's bullshit.
That's bullshit. I'd rather listen to it in one ear.
We're doing it archive style, baby.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just, we've had a lot of archives lately. That's all I'm trying to say. And they are inferior in quality.
They are the closest we can get to archival quality.
Yeah, but that's bad.
That's...
And yes, listen. It is. And they start singing the Teddy Bears Picnic theme song. Do we have any of the theme song? Because I believe there was some music to start this thing.
I mean, I don't remember it. It just seemed like generic Halloween stuff.
I thought it was Teddy Bear's Picnic. Done
no, it was definitely
creepily.
Not Teddy Bear Picnic. There's not even words to it, Ray. What were you smoking?
It's the music. Not
it is
this
not.
Part. Give it a sec. That's where the teddy bears have their picnic.
What is a teddy bear picnic?
It's a very famous children's song.
Beneath the trees where nobody sees, we'll hide and seek as long as we please, because that's the way the teddy bears have their picnics.
Nope.
Honestly, I've never heard that song perform better, quite honestly.
Chan, what kind of childhood did you have? Because it seems terrible.
I think I turned out just fine. I didn't have to put up with this god-awful picnic song.
Either, but Ray is wrong. That is not the Teddy Bear Picnic song.
Now that you've heard Gina and further suck it, Rafi, Gina's coming for your job. That was fantastic. Can we hear that last part just a moment again? Because that's the melody they're playing.
It is not.
Is Rafi still alive?
If he is, he can suck it.
Wow. None of that sounds familiar.
It is not. It is not.
If
you
let it play out a little bit longer,
no.
I swear to God, play like two or three more minutes, you'll hear it.
Oh, not.
I believe that it was.
You didn't even know Teddy Bear Picnic had words to it, probably.
I knew the teddy bear. That's the way the teddy bears have their picnic.
And none of that was that song.
But it was getting to it. That's my point. Listen for yourself, people. Let the truth set you free.
I'd rather listen to the Flood remix. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. They might be giants?
No.
I would listen to that.
I am sure that you would.
And Margot Kidder, what is Margot Kidder from? I know this name. I don't know what she's from.
Oh, my God.
Superman?
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
I don't like to call people dummies very often. I think it's rude.
Yes, you
and
do.
I think it's ableist. Ray, you are a dummy.
Yeah, see, who's bullying now? Look,
based on
look
every
who's
interaction
bullying
I've
now.
Had with you, I call bullshit on that.
I cannot believe you said, what is Margot Kidder from? Oh my God.
What is Margot Kidder from? Oh, look, you want to start a pop culture podcast network, do you, Ray? Do you?
Kind of thinking about it, Robert Clark Chan.
Show me your bona fides, because right now it's not looking good.
Well, the first thing I'll tell you is Margot Kidder, obviously from Superman. I don't know why you guys don't know that.
Ugh.
And I do like Margot Kidder.
You couldn't even come up with anything else.
If she was in anything else, I don't know what it is other than maybe Superman 2.
Was she in that? No, I'm thinking of Christopher Reeve.
I just found out from my horror movie watch that Linda Hamilton was the second lead of Children of the Corn.
Oh my God. How did you not know that?
Because I've never seen the movie before. I've only seen the creepy children. I never realized, about the adults in it and that they were both famous.
You are worse than that 16-year-old coworker of yours who never watched any media.
Oh my God. Okay, hold on. I will not go down this route again. He was a very delightful man. He was in college, and he was not a coworker. He enjoyed the games we played and was the people who play games on streamer. He was a streamer.
He sucks. He sucked then. He sucks now. If I ever see him, I'm gonna punch him.
Look, you could go ahead and do a Twitch search for Gorilla. He was wonderful, and he was a very charming and delightful young man. Thank you. I think he lived in Connecticut. So look for Gorilla in Connecticut. He went to University of Connecticut. The Huskies.
Don't look for him. He didn't know anything. Only look for him to punch him.
He's someday this is going to trickle down to him. I mean, it'd be like, who wants to punch me?
This eventually comes down to us finding him after a few years of no contact, having him on this show, and Gina finally falling in love.
I mean, not before I bully him mercilessly.
Well, that's what the attraction will be based
on. 100%. Yeah. Like, if you think we haven't followed your dating history and seen the trail of boys that you've left behind, you've just bullied them into empty husks and then
they deserved it. They deserve to be empty husks in the field with the children of the corn.
I'm unclear. Oh, is Margot Kidder one of the children of the corn? Or
no.
Like the corn?
No, it's Linda Hamilton. She's the girlfriend of the corn man, like the guy who encounters the children of the corn.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, like I'm terrible.
No. That Soundgarden song, Corn Man.
No, they're the couple driving through and they're like having a debate about like whether or not they want children. And then they encounter an entire town where the adults are dead. And they're basically like, no, we never want children. In fact, I, Linda Hamilton, am going to punch myself in the uterus multiple times. And then he's going to punch himself in the dick multiple times so that we can never have kids because kids are awful. And if you leave them to their own devices, they will worship a god in the corn.
Who's going to save the world from Skynet if Linda Hamilton punches her ovaries out?
Especially at the end of the movie, I think they literally abduct one of the children, one of the good ones, and take them with her.
Yeah. So, they change their mind. They're like, hey, maybe we do want kids. Let's take this one.
The problem is we punched ourselves in the uterus and dick and we can't have kids anymore. Let's just abduct one of these children of the corn.
Why are we avoiding talking about the bears, the bear scares?
Oh, because there's nothing to this. Let's get through it. The one line is all you need to know about this. Like scary old lady across the street says things that are like, you're so sweet. And it turns out she just means that they're kind and not actually food.
That is true. But you also know that Ray, for some stupid reason, probably wrote 10 pages of notes that he's going to make us sit through. So we better get to it.
You guys, I have only 9 pages of notes on this. Look, I actually had a few thoughts that hit me up. Like, first off, yes, there's Ben the Bear and his friend Wally the Bear introduced later. And they are two teddy bears who can only move when no one's looking. But pets, they move for pets.
Yeah, they're like the Toy Story toys.
The Toy Story toys. And there's a brother and sister who I don't know if we ever get their names.
Oh, yeah. I assumed that I just wasn't paying attention and I missed it.
No, I don't think we ever said them out loud.
I never learned children's names. because I doubt they'll live long enough for it to matter.
Not if you can help it, but the kids are walking home, and then within earshot of the bears, they're talking about Mrs. Jones, who lives down the street, is a witch, and she, like, eats children. And I had this thought, and it's that these stories have existed for, you know, many, 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 many years. Like, this concept of the scary old person who, you know, this is kind of what the vibe of the movie The Burbs is like. And I'm wondering out loud, were all those stories just ways for Americans to hate immigrants?
I zoned out on whatever your point was supposed to be.
Obviously.
It like the only purpose of them was to hate the other right. being people from other countries.
But I mean, this also goes way, way back. There were like the weird old lady in, you know, ancient times. There was the like the widow who has nothing more supposedly to offer the town or village or whatever because she can't have babies anymore. And, you know, like she's a little weird. Nobody wants to fuck her anymore. So like throw her out.
I mean, you gotta burn there, at the stake at that point.
Many, many interesting think pieces on how the depiction of witches is historically anti-Semitic or
interesting. Okay.
Yes, because they draw them in a way. Yeah.
Oh, nose, kind of.
Yeah, dark curly hair, like features that typically are associated, like stereotypically are associated with the Jewish people. There are many interesting think pieces on it. I think probably more interesting than whatever Ray was just saying.
Pause. I think you I was sort of dipping into that because I've never considered that before. And as I was watching it, it just sort of hit me like, where would these stories come from? Why would they persist? And then I remembered the world we live in today, and I'm like, oh, it's just a way to get white people to hate people who are not white people.
I mean, you don't have to do anything. That's just their default state.
I mean, you're not you're not telling a lie.
All right, now I want to get back to the fucking teddy bears. Yeah. What is the deal with... okay, all right. We'll start with this jackass here. Apparently the boy's name is Simon.
Simon says the cat's name is Screech. He says that only a witch would name her cat something like that.
The fuck?
Yeah. What are her other cat's names? Zach Morris and AC Slater? Yeah, I was sitting on that one. I wrote it down.
This is why he has 9 pages of notes, because he writes down his jokes before it gets here.
Look, sometimes they're right there and I want to make sure I remember them, because there's nothing worse than letting the moment pass and not telling the great joke you thought of in the moment.
He has several alts written down too, just in case.
Okay, I do have other Jesse Spanos. I capped it at 3. I felt that was comedy.
And yet week after week we prove that 3 is not comedy. Best it's hired retread guy. Okay, we've lost Gina. We're back to 2, so I guess that'll pep us up a little bit.
I'm going back to 1 soon enough, Chan. Don't worry.
Are we done?
Okay.
Point is a pretty great name for a cat.
It's a great name for a cat.
It says what it does on the tin. There you go.
Yes, 100%. Now I did say she might turn the children into dinner. The one bear says to the other, and they might turn you, bear, into a dust ball.
Yeah.
Is that like a, like bears are, these teddy bears are kind of like inanimate, and they basically like, if somebody's going to do something terrible to them, they just have to lay there and take it because they can't move.
Like, doesn't dust ball just mean like, oh, no one's going to play with you? Because isn't that the worst thing you can say to a toy?
I wasn't sure.
I figured it was like, a few years later, you might have called it a dust bunny, although that might like confuse matters because, oh, what, it's, why is a bear or a bunny? What the hell? But just like a piece of, you know, like crummy dust underneath a bed seems like, yeah, it'd be the worst thing.
Like no one's playing with you. You're gathering dust.
Oh, no, not even that. I mean, like discorporated and just like a dust ball, like not even just an unused teddy bear. But it's like a person turns into a frog, a teddy bear turns into a dust ball.
So this was the first moment of this cartoon that I felt extreme cosmic terror haunting me from the inside out, as I imagined one of these teddy bears not being able to move, frozen in its place because a human is looking at it, and the human like desecrating it and ripping its head off, and it just having to sit and take it. And it was literally, I felt skeeved and unnerved on a cosmic level by this concept and idea. And I think this Halloween episode is working.
There's actually a point later on in this cartoon, and I'll try and remember and point it out, where I also felt a similar level of cosmic horror, which is pretty unexpected given I'm not going to call this cartoon trash, but it's just, it is what it is.
It's a whole pile of nothing burger that for some reason, multiple times through it, filled me with the most cosmic dread physically possible. And I'm not comfortable with this fact.
Because you're afraid of single women. Through it. You're afraid of single women.
Yeah. Yeah. It checks out.
Women?
Single women.
Single women. They
who live alone because they don't want to put up with your bullshit.
You can't trust those people.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, she does make cupcakes, and I feel like that would be something that would turn Ray pretty easily.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah.
What my concern is, these bears are like trying to help out, which is not a thing that a bear should do. And they do it in a way that involved. A bear shouldn't do it.
I found the witches before, and so I did some research.
First off, why did you pause before saying research?
Because it's clear that he's bear jerking it to images of witches online.
Okay. This is the second problem then. There was no online in 1980. What was this? 4-2, something like that.
Well, then he was jerking it to the images in the books at the library, at the bear library.
At the bear library. Was he finding underwear ads in the bear newspaper? Because that's what young Chan had to do.
Look, I just, as soon as he said that out loud, I pictured a tombstone that just said, "Here lies Bear. He did his own research."
Yeah, it seems super January 6th kind of action there.
Can we jump back one sec for a sound clip from 3 minutes and 19 seconds? Because as we enter a scene, and I love it when shows do this, right? A lot of shows do this. You'll notice it when you notice it. But somebody will be at the end of a story. They'll be at the end of a joke as the scene begins, and then we just begin the scene. Gina, I'm sure there's a name for this in the world of smart TV writers, but like, I want to understand, based on how the dad finishes this story to his family over dinner, what was he talking about?
So I said, it'll be on your desk tomorrow.
What? No wonder no one's listening to him. What story possibly ends like that? The end, reaction.
He's clearly talking about a shit. Like, that's why it's a joke. Like, you think he's talking about work. You think he's talking about a file or something he owes at work. But really, his boss, this whole story was probably him being like, I was like taking too many breaks at work. And my boss said, "What are you working on when you're not at your desk?" And I didn't want to tell him I was working on shits. So I told him I was working on reports. And he said, "Well, I expect to see those reports in the morning. I expect to see whatever you've been working on in your free time on my desk in the morning." And he goes, "Oh, don't worry. It'll be on your desk tomorrow morning."
I'm going to be looking for a new job tomorrow. So heads up.
I love that. Why is he telling his family that over dinner?
Because when else do you bond with your family about like shit that you're doing to your boss?
I save the fecal related stories for dessert time. That's all I'm trying to say. I've got a little class.
I 100% also mark this in my notes because I was like, is this the most boring motherfucker in the world?
No, now you know the full context. Boss. It'll be on your desk tomorrow morning.
My second thought was, oh, fuck, is this what my family thinks of when they're like, so how was your day, dear? I'm like, oh, shit. Are they seriously thinking, when is he going to stop talking? When is he going to stop
talking?
It's only been 4 seconds, and why is he still talking?
That's why they force you to go out to Chuck E. Cheese late at night.
I'm going to tell you right now. Thank you. I believe I am the only person in my household who understands that all stories told to other family members are boring, and make sure I hit the bullet points and get out at 20 seconds every single time.
Somehow I don't think that's true based on how you host this podcast, which we should be done with by now.
Gina, for the record, there is a difference between a captive podcast audience who's already on board and a family that doesn't care what you have to say.
No, there really isn't.
Oh, I feel like they were on board at one point, maybe in the early seasons. Maybe by the time we got halfway through Deke, they're like, you know what, this is kind of, and now they're just like chained in, like Stockholm syndrome.
When this show starts getting record numbers at some point in the future, and we're not going to know what to do with all the people who have opinions.
May that day come soon.
May that day come sooner rather than later. Listen, I got one more here because they ask outright at dinner, is Mrs. Jones a witch? And there's like, no, she's just a spinster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were called maids back in the day.
The parents openly mock and laugh at their own children at dinner for even asking such an absurd question.
I mean, technically.
Mrs. Jones?
Certainly not Mrs. Jones. She's just an older lady who lives all by herself.
They didn't call her a spinster, for fuck's sake.
No, that was what Ray said.
By an older lady who lives by herself.
That was what Ray said. They didn't even say old lady. They said older. They said an older lady who lives by herself. And then Ray said, oh, a cunty spinster, you say?
Yeah.
What other meaning do you get from older lady who lives by herself?
From a woman, I think it's going to be normal significantly one. Different. It's like, I could be that someday if my trash husband who's shitting on his boss's desk and these idiot children who don't know what a witch is.
Older woman who lives by herself, I hear a woman who is thriving and does not have to put up with bullshit stories about things left on bosses' desks.
While you are correct, the Oxford Dictionary defines spinster as an unmarried woman, typically an older woman, beyond the usual age for marriage. That is exactly what they call her on this show. I am not weird in calling it out.
Yes, there's
no mention of marriageable marriage status. Like, you know what? She really needs to get married, that old Mrs. Jones.
It's too late. That's why she's a spinster.
Also,
she's
older, she could be alone. They never even specified that she never had a husband. In fact, at one point, she's looking at her dress finery and being like, oh, I remember when I used to go out and have fun. I hope that this lady was a big old slut.
Yeah.
this interaction that she has is going to make her go out and be a slut again. And then she's going to be like, yeah, man, this is the life. Being a slut, coming home to my clean, empty house, making cupcakes whenever I want. I can eat them all or I can give them to the kids, but I definitely don't have to give them to my fat ass lazy husband.
Gina, this feels personal for you.
Yeah, no, this tracks with what we know. our data set of your relationships. Checks out.
Jen, you brought that up twice. She's going to find out about the spreadsheets if you keep talking.
Look, she won't go look at the one spreadsheet that she explicitly asked for. What makes you think she's going to look for any more?
I need you guys to make a spreadsheet and give me access to it. You've never given me access to it.
You've had access the whole time.
Lies.
Yeah, our other one started as a joke where we started tracking your period. Then it grew to like all number of ways to avoid your ire.
Yeah, to be fair, that's why they allow multiple tabs.
The patterns have developed quite strongly, and there's significant correlations that we've made.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Here's Screech, the exciting new game that you play in the dark. Screech says, look for a spider. Have you got the spider? The cagey old owl lights up the glowing answer. Snakes and bats and skulls And spiders are in the magical eyes of Screech. It's fun to play in the dark. Screech from Parker Brothers.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
The end result of all of this is that the Bears buy into the witch hype. They are 100% on the she's a witch train. And, you know, the parents do a good job here. I'm going to say right now, parents in 80s cartoons, not always great. In this particular case, they make a blueberry pie and they say, we're going to put it in this paper bag and you're going to take it over to Mrs. Jones. At which point, one of the two bears, the younger one, falls into the bag when no one's looking.
What
because
the
that
hell?
Bear is an idiot.
That bear is the worst. Somewhere around this point, I was like, wait a minute. And I haven't checked the timeline, so it may not line up right. But because this was aired on Disney Channel.
Yes, that's the craziest part of the whole thing.
When this thing came out, I was like, how the fuck did Disney not sue them into the ground for ripping off Winnie the Pooh? First off, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute, maybe Disney didn't own Winnie the Pooh at the time. Maybe once they did own Winnie the Pooh, they sued these people into the ground and then
now they own
got
it.
got all the footage yeah. And then just aired it on the Disney Channel.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I did not make the Winnie the Pooh reference until you said it. And then I'm like, that bear is basically Winnie the Pooh.
He's a fucking yellow bear with a red vest, no pants.
You're right. Look, I don't know why I didn't come up with it. This episode did remind me that back in the day, boomer parents would just send kids unsupervised through the neighborhood. Could you imagine sending your kid, Chan, just down the street to just do whatever?
Here's the thing. Because I was like, yeah, we could totally send the kid off. Just go down, buy me a pack of smokes, come on back. But my partner apparently does not agree. And apparently there's this thing called CPS. I don't think that existed in the 80s. Otherwise, they would have been called multiple times. But yeah, I can't do that anymore.
It's the craziest thing because like we would just disappear for like 8-10 hours a day. Come back whenever, and our parents would be like, oh, you again. And sometimes, these days, if your kid is in your front yard, they will call the cops.
Yeah. Sometimes we disappear entirely, and it'd be like,
yes.
Didn't we used to have a kid? I don't know. It's probably in someone's basement locked up or something. Whatevs. Let's go bowling.
That's why we had six.
Yeah. I was an only... So I got the paranoid treatment. And that's how I turned out the way I did.
Excellent
but
tracks.
Even still, I just got left home alone with like, hey, make yourself dinner. All right.
So the kids go over to Mrs. Jones's house and her first statement is, come in my house. And I'm shouting at my screen, no.
No,
you should not do that.
This was also an 80s thing. People like when kids showed up at your door, you'd be like, all right, come in.
To be fair, the parents sent them over. So
yeah.
It's not like, hey, just go over to that dangerous construction site and just like see what kind of trouble you can get into. You're like, you are going over there. This is a perfectly safe place for you to be and drop off a fucking pie.
But yeah. Still, you're going to end up at the construction site.
I mean, eventually, it's...
That's where you're going to go. What else are we going to do here? Yeah. I mean, keep it real.
Get high, jump into the cement mixer.
I mean, doy. So look, they ask her point blank, are you a witch?
Honestly, I would have punched these kids right then and there. I would have stolen their pie, punched them in the face while they were on the ground. I would have wedgied them, and I would have been like, witch, bitch?
You seriously wouldn't be like, yes, I am a witch. Come into my oven, kiddies.
Yeah, I totally would do that, too.
That is the more fun option.
Well, they run away. But however, that dumbass bear is stuck in the bag. So now we're all assuming he's going to turn into a dust bowl. The kid, we cut two kids are spying now.
No, they're saying Dust Bowl, right? Not Dust Bowl.
I wrote Dust Bowl down on my
sheet. Oh my God. You know what world does that make sense? No,
that's
clearly
what I assumed they were turning into.
So they're gonna be the
agricultural land of Oklahoma in the 30s.
Obviously. What other reference would they be making right here?
Or in the movie Interstellar, what's going on in the world before Matthew McConaughey's daughter saves it?
Thank you.
Do you think that this man has ever has watched Interstellar and understood any part of it?
Absolutely not.
Listen, just last night I watched the movie Hereditary, and I feel like I got it like 80% right.
Do you think that this man has seen any film by Christopher Nolan and understood any part of it?
Maybe the Batman.
Oh, no. I'm going to say right now, this is my one thing I'm very proud of. I've seen Tenet twice, and I get it.
Is that because you watched the Eric Voss New Rockstars breakdown of it?
No, but now I wish I had. It was very difficult.
This feels like it was planned.
Hey, let's talk about The Witching Hour, the new Rockstars channel. Don't you have a new video coming out, TV's Gina Ippolito?
I do, in exactly 6 days, the spookiest number.
You mean after
number.
This episode airs? Oh, I mean, before this episode airs? Wow, it's out now. People should probably know about it to go to it.
Well... yeah, I don't know what day it is right now, so I can't tell you when it comes out.
It's Friday the 30th, obviously.
Well, then Silly. It came out on 2 days ago, on Wednesday the 28th.
Well, it's been out for like 2 or 3 days at this point.
Yeah, so if you haven't watched it, go fuck yourself.
You should have seen it by now, to be fair. She is correct.
We should also probably clarify that it's Thursday the 30th. So people's heads don't explode.
This episode is coming out on Thursday the 30th, unless
all right. Well, then it's
up,
been out
Jen.
For 1 day on Wednesday the 29th.
Hey, Gina, what's this about? Is it Friday the 13th?
This is about Friday the 13th and the tropes of 80s horror.
Never heard of it.
Well, you should read a book.
Oh, Chan, you're not playing in a Fortnite. Oh, Jason Voorhees is now purchasable in the store at Fortnite.
Should I be reading the novelization of Friday the 13th, Gina?
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
I own one of the Jason X novelizations.
I just name checked today at work the V novelizations by A.C. Crispin and received blank stares. I'm like, do you fuckers work in a comic book shop or what? Come on now.
Wait, that's V as in the lizard people, right?
As opposed to
V for Vendetta.
I would have said V for Vendetta if I meant V for Vendetta.
But you like to be brief, Chan. You've mentioned like this already.
If you've watched my horror essay on A Nightmare on Elm Street, which
and
has
you
been
should
out
have. It's
now,
brilliant.
You will know that Robert Englund was getting some heat in his career due to his appearance in the V miniseries.
He was excellent in that.
Was mm-hmm. he in it? I haven't seen it since I was a kid, and it scared
well,
the shit out of me.
Did you watch you have not watched my Nightmare on Elm Street essay.
Honestly, I watched it. I missed that part, apparently. I did not realize that.
Mm. It's not the... Oh, okay, you know what? If you can watch Legion and be like, I don't understand all of this, or some of this, or even any of this.
Any of it.
You know what? There's a... I can understand how you would get to that place. If you watch a 15-minute video essay about an 80s slasher horror film that's, I'm not going to say dumbed down, but is easily understood and can't pick up that level, I
now, hold on a second.
Don't know what to do.
Hold on a second, because Gina's spits the facts very quickly. And sometimes you're just digesting a fact when a new fact comes in, and you just gotta toss it. You gotta
well,
say,
that's why
I'll
you
be
have
ready
to
for
watch
the next
it.
One.
That's why you have to watch it 22,000 more times.
22. When I watch it 22,000 times, I will not miss that part.
What are you digesting?
It. Words,
again,
I guess.
Is this a fucking? It's not a mind twister.
No, Jen. I don't know if you've ever had a big screen TV in your office at work before, but you put it on while, you know, you're watching it, while you're trying to do a little bit of work and take in some spreadsheets and whatnot.
So
and
you
sometimes a fact gets missed. These things happen.
You don't this care about the work that Gina does, hard effort that she puts in.
Uh-huh.
You're just
I gave her 22,000 views. Excuse me, 21,099 views. Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe that last time it would have actually sunk in.
That last time was the one I'm missing, and I'll have to do it again.
Jessica's video about Candyman and the rituals of fear is out right now. It's very good. Goes into the real racial history behind the making of that movie.
I really like Candyman, and I'm going to
enjoy the original Tony Todd Candyman, not the new Candyman.
Well, that's the only one that exists to me.
I've never seen the movie, and I legitimately want to watch the movie so that I can watch this video.
Wait, have you never seen this movie? That's surprising.
I am not a horror guy, so I've missed deliberately many, many, many.
I'm shocked by that, if I can be honest.
Yeah, I'm really shocked by it. You should watch it and then watch Jessica's video about it.
You're Mr. Super Violence Heavy Metal. How have you not seen
also,
basic
why do you
movies?
Hate Tony Todd? Why did you kill him recently?
Yeah, why did you kill Tony Todd, Chan?
I don't like alliteration.
Oh.
Sorry. That's just how I am.
I mean, I get it.
When are you going to do Hellraiser? Just
So I'm going to do Freddy versus Jason next.
Oh my God, yes.
Just jumping to Freddy versus Jason.
Well, because
one of the best movies of all time.
And also because I give enough history of the franchise of Nightmare on Elm Street and history of the franchise of Friday the 13th in both of the video essays that then naturally leads up to here's what had to happen to make Freddy versus Jason.
This is your end game.
A thing. Exactly. But then after that, I might do Hellraiser I've rewatched it like three times this season.
Nice.
I need to watch it again. I don't have a lot of memories of the first
to show
one.
You. Ray, I don't think you would understand it.
Why does the man have all the pointies in his head?
How did he solve that puzzle box?
You guys, I am watching 13, famously watching 13 movies this holiday season. I have understood, I believe, most of them, and I have not enjoyed all of them.
You're counting like kids' Halloween movies, right?
I'm counting every episode of this show. I'm going to promise.
Teddy Bear Scare, yeah.
Yeah,
Teddy
Bear
Scare is on the list.
He needs us to explain it to him. Are we done with Teddy Bear Scare?
Not even close, because
that's
here's
not
the deal.
Fair.
They see her digging in a graveyard with... Now, okay, we understand even here in this moment, she is digging a garden. Why does she have little crosses above all of the vegetables?
That's where you put the names of the seeds that you've planted.
Oh my God. You really didn't understand it. I was making a joke.
Not with a cross.
Is she writing in Japanese? Does it go down instead of horizontally?
The English language can't be understood if you're writing down.
Oh my God.
I originally was going to attribute this idiot child's response to a failure of the American educational system. Like, you're like, maybe they're in an urban area. Okay, they're not in an urban area that doesn't have any fucking gardens. They're in the goddamn suburbs, so there's no excuse for these children not to know what a GD garden is.
Yeah, it's very strange.
My next note for this show is... There's a lot of nothing happening right now.
Honestly, there's a huge gap in my notes.
let's get to it then.
I mean, I got nothing to say. I don't think anything happened for like 4 minutes.
I don't have any notes.
Up my chin.
So that fucking bear hits the cat with a spatula. I'm like, hey, what the hell's going on?
Oh, okay. Because she's cooking something. And they're like, she's cooking something. Obviously, it's children's fingers.
Yeah,
these children need help. They need help. She's chopping celery, and they're like, "Oh shit,
this is the end of us."
These children need desperate help. Anyway, Ben the bear has now broken into this woman's house, and the cat is after him. And I'm rooting for the cat.
Yeah, this is some real Child's Play shit. What the hell's going on, man?
It's insane.
Or I guess even Cat's Eye as well. We got that little fucking goblin.
Oh, I love Cat's Eye. I was just talking about Cat's Eye the other day.
There you go. Do a video on it. I'm just going to keep saying that anytime a thing comes up because I don't know how your process works.
I don't know if you guys could feel the contempt that Gina just threw at Chan with her silence, but I picked up on it. I'm going to say right
now. Is this one of those, oh, you should do a skit about that, dear?
Why don't you do one of your scorches?
Why don't you tell me about what you're going to leave on your boss's desk for the 10th time?
So the witch says, I'm sorry, Mrs. Jones says, I have a special treat. I'm going to get the silver. All of this is normal, non-witchy things to say. But the girl, goes into the house.
Fair, Margot Kidder, like, knows what her job is. She tries to make the innocuous stuff as spooky as possible.
She does a great job.
Honestly, the writers could have pushed a little bit harder.
To be fair, when she refers to the little child as so tender, that was pretty solid. And then she says, here, do you want to see what's in my oven? And we get a shot from inside the oven of the child looking in, and this was my next moment of cosmic horror.
Really? Because this was my first moment of like, oh shit, Alton Brown must have watched this.
This, the fact that we have not had a camera that goes this way, and all of a sudden, now I'm picturing the child burning in the oven like Hansel and Gretel.
You witch. Realize that Hansel and Gretel didn't burn in the oven, right?
No, they burned the witch in the oven, and I've always thought, what a terrible way to go. Uh-huh.
Again, you've watched cooking shows in the past, right? Cosmic horror shouldn't necessarily be your next jump to.
No, because I've already been there, it's fresh in mind.
Uh-huh.
And also, there was another moment of one of the teddy bears being helpless. I think it's one of the moments with the dumb one that got stuck in the house with the witch. And I'm like, she could just tear its head off right now and it would just be over. And there's really nothing you can do about it. And I had my like second or third. I had a lot of cosmic horror. Maybe I'm playing too much Arkham Horror. I don't know. But like the cosmic shit really hit me during this.
First off, it's fucking kids and an old lady. Why would you jump to cosmic horror? Second, a POV shot of an oven.
Because the kid like leans in a little bit. Oh my God. I was just like, I mean, I know we're not going there, but
have
like,
you not seen fucking Jonna De Laurentiis for crying out loud? Anything on the Food Network?
She's delightful.
Lord, how are you going to know when your cookies are done if there's no goddamn camera?
Chan, there's a camera from the outside that will still show you through glass whether or not it's done. We don't need one at the back of the oven.
Don't you, Ray? Don't you?
Assuredly not.
And how do you get to friggin' Cthulhu from that?
Boy, how much time you got?
Not enough, according to Gina.
So the boy runs in, looks really stupid by trying to stand up for his sister when they're eating goddamn cupcakes right now. The witch says, I appreciated you sent me a pie and a bear. She says, I spent too much time getting old, but not enough staying young. And motherfuck, I started tearing up on that line. Legitimately, I'm so old now. That shit got to me on a molecular level, and I started welling up in the eyes. What's wrong with me?
Hold on. Was this thing that you're experiencing cosmic horror, or was it just an observation of your own mortality?
Yeah, cosmic dread, Chan. It's all the same shit. This one really brought it out of me on my lunch break, and I don't appreciate it.
Here's my whole thing with this. I did not find Mrs. Jones creepy because she might be eating children, burying them in her backyard, turning creatures into dust balls and what have you. I felt like, and I understand, for the purposes of the story, you have to try and humanize her and give her something that a child would understand and identify with and whatnot. But just one too many times, I think we got lines like,
"What a fine young bear."
She gets so up into these bears.
Mm-hmm.
I am not sure that she didn't just throw Wally down on the bed while they're off at school and just hump the shit out of that bear.
Mm-hmm. Honestly,
like, bring him back. Bring him back, please.
She's creepier if she just genuinely means everything that she says. If she is genuinely like, oh, what fine looking children, I want to invite them into my home and give them cupcakes. That's weirder to me than if she's a witch who's like, yeah, I fucking eat kids. It's what I do.
I thought you grew up in one of those townships where everybody was like, come on in. I've got Snickers and Kool-Aid for all the children.
Yeah, that's what she's trying to say, Chan.
I did. But that's not how I want to live my life. I would rather boil kids alive.
Oh, I see. So not so much creepy as just like different life choices. She needs to
check her priorities.
just getting laid at the retirement community?
Yeah.
Chan, it's the ones that feed the kids that are the problem, not the ones who eat them.
Mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
At least those people are being honest.
Look, I'm not concealing that I'm a cannibal. So I feel like I should definitely be on the Supreme Court.
Because I make different culinary choices than the rest of you. Is that so wrong? I'm just saying, be prepared for it next year. Because, yeah, that person will be on the Supreme Court.
You have 3 months when they... try and off one of the liberal judges.
We really do live in the worst period of time, don't we?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, the worst was the Civil War. It does not get any worse than that. We are not there yet. Are we at like a 0.8 Civil War? Like, yeah, it's not good. There's way better times to be in, but we haven't reached peak bad yet.
I don't know. I'm going to save my thoughts for another day. What I'm trying to say is the Smith also makes stew with the garden vegetables grown in the graveyard garden. And the other bear says, hey, man, we're good. She's actually very nice. It's all good. We still have 2.5 minutes of show and none of it matters. I wrote no more notes.
Oh, well, here is the part where I got to my moment of cosmic horror. Like, I don't mind the teddy bears being alive. That's very normal, prosaic.
You know, it's a lot to take in. Your
toy stories and what have you. I do mind them eating cupcakes. Why are they eating? Why are they enjoying it? Why do they apparently have a history of eating things? Where does the food go when someone walks into the room? Is there frosting on their mouth?
But to be fair, Winnie the Pooh also ate. Like, Winnie the Pooh ate a lot, and he was a stuffed bear.
No, he was real. What are you talking about?
But yeah, at some point these bears are going to need to like shit in the toilet or something. Otherwise,
this is what I am saying. What happens to the food?
Wait a minute, Gina. Winnie the Pooh murdered several people over 2 movies. What do you mean right now?
Gina, you should do a video on those. Winnie the Pooh and
I am happy to write it for you.
You can't even watch my videos and retain them.
Look, you shoot out
2,000 facts over 15 minutes and I miss one and I am the Antichrist.
Ray will have upwards of 4 facts in 15 minutes just so they all can sink in and there's time to digest.
You're
going to love the script.
Gina, the video I write for you will have 90 seconds of solemn thought to really let the people understand what they're watching. Also, I don't understand how I haven't been hired yet.
if you want to actually eat something so you can actually visually digest something to help the metaphor for Ray, that would be great.
Oh, there's a lot of chewing. There's a lot of chewing on camera that happens as you eat like a whole Snickers bar.
You'll be saying food for thought a lot. And then just pausing and chewing non-existent food in your mouth.
You guys, Chan gets me.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately...
It's not good for you.
No, no, not even a little bit.
Anyway.
Are we done with the show yet?
I've been done with it for a while.
This is an episode that made me face cosmic dread and legitimately almost made me cry in the span of 22 minutes.
You know what? I'm just going to chalk that one up to Margot Kidder being a very good actor.
She's very good.
Not Ray just being a big, big dum-dum.
I hope that's just it. Anyway, that is Teddy Bear Scare. And what do you guys have to plug? Gina, can you tell the people about The Witching Hour one more time?
Yeah, go to The Witching Hour, subscribe, watch my Nightmare on Elm Street video. And by the time this comes out, my Friday the 13th video. Watch the other videos on there, too. Jessica's Candyman video is fire. So go watch that.
And yeah. Chen, go watch Candyman, just for the record.
Yeah, go Gina, watch Candyman,
you,
dude.
You know what you should do is a video about Candyman.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen it. But oh I hear God. It's pretty good.
Oh my God. I cannot believe you have not seen it.
I'm shocked.
Why do you hate black people, Chan? That's my question.
What's up with that?
Wow, you want a list? I give it to you alphabetically in order of importance.
Why don't you support Tony Todd and why did you kill him? So
wow.
Because he's a poor man's Keith David.
Oh no.
I'll be honest, you accusing Chan of killing Tony Todd has real Ted Cruz's dad is the Zodiac killer vibes. Because I think both are true.
Yeah.
Just for the record.